series called Walking with God. It's talking about our personal relationships with Him and how to develop. And today's one is actually about focus and about actually, I think the easy way that we say is it's kind of like daily devotions. But I think the word daily devotions has kind of become like this sort of like this pressure, like, oh yeah, I'm not a good Christian because I haven't been doing my daily devotions or I haven't been spending time with God. So I wanted to think about a little bit more like in terms of focus or what is focus. And I think when we think about our days and we think about actually when we start our days, it normally starts pretty hectically, right? So you wake up and you're probably late for something or you're trying to rush, you've got to get your kids sorted or you're trying to get, you know, you have an exam. Or for university students at this point, you wake up and there's nothing happening. Still the same problem is you need to have some sort of focus or what's a way to kind of put your mind in the right direction. And I guess when you ask that question is, well, why do you need to focus or what's focusing about? The best way I can explain it is it's about being seasoned or tenderized as meat. Like meat. The other way you might think of it is like preparation day before a war. But you have this moment where you have this tenderization and this seasoning. In other words, before you start cooking something, to get the best kind of meat, to prepare something, you get the meat, you get it cut, and then you prepare it. You season it, and you marinate it, you let it get ready before you cook it. I don't think we realize that actually in our day-to-day, we need to have that kind of attitude, like actually, does my heart, does my life need to be prepared before God? Do I need to get something ready for Him? I think a lot of times we say, well, we can't connect with God, or I can't hear from Him, or I feel like I'm not doing anything for God, and I'm waiting for Sunday to come around so that I can feel like I'm doing something for Him, or I'm waiting to ask to serve Him in some way in the church so I can feel like I'm doing something. When actually the starting point to all of this is saying, actually, God, each day may my heart and my soul be tenderized and be seasoned for You. It's what's said in the Bible, actually, let all your lives be seasoned with salt. Be prepared for everything. And that idea of, God, actually, am I prepared for everything that You have for me to do today? I have a feeling most of us in our life, we spend our time actually feeling like we're fighting fires. We're running from one emergency to the next or one incident to the next. I know since the kids have gotten older, there's a lot of running around to take them from one thing to another. Okay, so now they've got piano lessons today, and then I've got to pick the other one up at this time. And it's always like, okay, in my mind, I'm trying to keep track of things. So like last week, I had to take them to Chinese school. And normally, I don't do the pickup from Chinese school because Ash will come and pick them up. And so in my head, I was thinking, oh yeah, okay, so Chinese school, I'll drop them off, and I'll hang around, and I'll work on something, and I'll come back and pick them up. And I was like, oh, okay, so oh, it's 10:30 now. I dropped them off at 10. It's 10:30 now. It's not. 9:30 I dropped them off. It was 9:30 I dropped them off. And at 10 o'clock, it was 10 o'clock, I'll pick them up now because everything's half an hour. You know, Alex's swimming is half an hour. So I went to pick them up. And I go and knock on the door, and I go in, and they all look at me like, what are you doing here? I'm like, it's not time to pick you up. And they're like, no. And the teacher looks at her phone, and she taps her phone and says, no, it's only 10 o'clock. I said, is it not 10 o'clock? She says, no, 10:30. And then Chloe and Alex are having such a laugh at me. And I realized I spend so much of my time. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll come back in half an hour. So I'm like, oh, I'll just go sit in my car now for half an hour, playing on my phone. And it's kind of things I spend so much time rushing around that I feel like I'm losing focus. It's hard to keep track of what really is important. And you realize if you spend your life in this kind of pace, you don't have the chance to hear from God, or you're not expecting, or you're not ready for Him to use you in the day. And if you've never talked to Raj, okay, so Raj hates it, and I know he's like, oh God, if you ever talk to Raj, we know, right? When you talk to Raj, Raj's weeks are amazing, and it's like, Raj, what? Yeah, it's a normal week, you know, as you do, and then. Well, you know, I was walking on, and he'd be like, yeah, it's a normal week. And then he'll say, oh, well, I was walking along, and then suddenly I met this guy, and then he poured out. Or I was walking along, and I felt God tell me to knock on this person's door. So I knocked on this door, and they invited me in for tea, and they poured out their whole life story. Like, Raj, this is a normal week for you, but this is, like, amazing for everybody else. But when we hear that, when we hear stories like that, for all of us, it resonates, right? Because it's like, yeah, why isn't my life like that? Why? Because it feels right, because it's like, everything we read in the Bible seems to point to God working that way, right? Where people's lives are open and their attention, and when we talk about poverty and these walls built up, if you're walking around understanding like, oh, there are no walls for God, God, you are at work today, use me today, we're ready. And then what I love about Raj is he just always seems to be ready, so God keeps throwing people his way. It's like, oh, if I don't have three of these things a week, I feel like it's been a bad week. I'm like, whoa, if I don't have three of these years in my lifetime, I feel like I failed my life. It's that thing where actually maybe we need to get better at figuring out what to focus on or what our focus is. Instead of always feeling like we're late or running behind or scrambling just to stay on top of things, do you imagine that's the kind of life that God set out for us? That's his plan for us. He said, I brought you into my family. I saved you to become my child so that you can always feel like you're floundering and never on top of your work and rushing from thing to thing, feeling tired and frustrated. Because that is the great blessing I have for you as my children. And then you will die and come to heaven and be with me forever. Somehow that doesn't seem to click, right? Somehow it seems like God has always been saying, if you believe in me, if you know me, if I've called you to be my children, you will go and bless. Go and make disciples. Go and do likewise. Everything you have seen me doing, I've seen my Father doing, I now tell you to do. Go and do those things. And for all of us, it's more like, okay, we're doing all these things, God, and it'd be great if you could use us too. If you could slot in that useful time in between here and here, that would be great. But actually, most of us, we don't pray like that. We pray like, God, just please help me through tomorrow. Help me. You know, I feel like there's so much. I feel so much pressure. And then later, in 10 years' time or less, we're diagnosed with hypertension, and we have all this stress in our lives. And it's like, I don't know. What I'm trying to suggest today is maybe we can start rethinking about actually the way our lives run or the way things go. And instead of saying daily devotions, another thing to add to that task list, let's think about focus. Well, what is the focus of our life? What is the focus of what we're doing? There's these two verses here that talk about being tenderized and seasoned. I love them because the first one, Colossians, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, this is great, but if you are living a tense life, if you're living a stressed out life, your conversations are not covered in grace, are they? Normally it's like, okay, well, can you finish up whatever you're saying? Because I have these other things I have to do in my life. Seasoned with salt is like, well, yeah, I'm ready to share everything that God has for me. And I'm trusting God throughout my whole day, throughout my work, throughout every incident. Seasons us, Matthew 5:13, and this is a really common verse. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all in the house. This idea of us being salt and light, each day understanding, God, in my preparation, in this idea to be focused, God, season me, tenderize me. Let me be full of grace and humility, ready to go out, ready to do something. I was talking to, I was at a wedding yesterday, and I met an old friend of ours, and he's a doctor, and he was sharing about kind of what's changed. And for him, the change for him as a doctor has been, he's suddenly saying, actually, my life's purpose is to be God's child, to be walking with God, to see what Jesus is doing and be like that and live in that kind of life. And he says that has been so freeing, and he feels like there's so much to learn about God. And in that, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I've been praying for my patients. And in my head, I'm like, flag, NHS, not allowed, do not pray for patients. And he's like, yeah, I pray for my patients. As God leads, I pray for my patients. And I was like, wow, that's really bold. And he's like, yeah, one day I was praying for my patient, and the nurse walked in. And saw me praying, and I looked up and saw the nurse, and I just continued praying. I was like, whoa, okay, you are going to get fired. And it's that courage, though. And the nurse just stood there while he prayed, and then he finished praying, and he's like, when he finished praying, it's like he heard the nurse say, amen. And then obviously, he doesn't just invade every patient that comes in and says, I'm going to pray for you. But I think he really trusts God's leading and in this. And afterwards, he asked the nurse, did you say amen? Are you a Christian? She said, yes. And she just poured out, just shared with him. And it's like, you suddenly realize, wow, this is the life that God has called us to lead, that these are not, should not be out of the ordinary. But do you think God called all of us to be believers so that we could just do the same as everyone else in the world? No, right? Everyone else is already doing that. He called us out to be something different. And it's where this then everyday focus thing becomes important, because it's like every day is getting your mind set for actually, what is the point of my life here on earth? God, each day, let me be ready for you. So I want you guys to stop for a second, and I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to share about your morning routine. Okay, for some of you, there is no routine. Okay, I understand that. You can just say there's no routine, but these are some things I do in the daytime. So hopefully things like brush teeth is one of them. Go to the toilet is probably another. Okay, it doesn't need to be that specific, but share a little bit about your morning routine and try to talk to some people who aren't the same as you. Because students, I have a bad feeling if you all talk to each other about your morning routines, you would learn nothing. There would be no knowledge gained there. What? What's morning? Right, so... So turn around. So shots fired. This guy. I'm only thinking about a few of you guys. All right. Anyways, turn around. Say hello to the person next to you and say, okay, yeah, tell me your morning routine. Okay, do that now. Okay, right. I'm gonna kill your conversations because I'm that kind of person. I'm actually not interested in your morning routines. I just want you guys to start thinking about them. But the next question I have to ask is not what's your morning routine, because the more and more I thought about focus, I thought, actually, maybe it's not just about the mornings. If you're thinking about your routine in the morning, you're already too late. What's important is actually, what's your bedtime routine? At this point, everyone's like, routine's thrown out of the window, it's just whatever. But you feel like if you don't prepare yourself for sleep when you wake up in the morning, you're already behind, you're already late. And so we're starting to think about this kind of more holistically, like each day is on to the next one. If you read the Bible, have you guys noticed? Morning, evening comes into play so much. You know, Lord, I will sing your praises in the morning. I will remember your goodness at night. You know, you remember the cloud of pillar guiding them in the daytime and the pillar of fire at night. Morning and evening are so important. But we always just think, oh, get to the morning, and by then you're too late. So let's talk about, now I want you guys to talk to each other about your bedtime routines, okay? Bedtime routine, they get like, oh, I don't know, I just work, and then I collapse on the sofa, and I wake up, it's 4, and then I have a gong zai min, and it's over. All right, so go ahead, share your bedtime routines with each other. Do that now. All right, I'm going to shut down your chattering again. So the important part of you thinking about your bedtime and your morning routines is I want you to kind of have that in your head. And for those of you guys who have no routines, I want you to start thinking, okay, well, if that's my situation, my problem, God, how am I going to be preparing myself for you the next morning and at the end of the day? So the reason I had you talk about it now is because as you start thinking about it, as we talk through the rest of this message, you'll hopefully have a chance to say like, oh yeah, these are what I want to do. As parents, okay, I know as parents, your children have a big influence on what happens to your evenings and your mornings. But actually, the question I always ask the parents is, do you want your kids to live the same lifestyle that you're living now? You know? Do you want them to be sleeping at like really weird times because they're so consumed with work? Or do you want them to be so grumpy in the mornings when they wake up because they didn't get enough sleep at night? No, we wouldn't want that as our parents. But what we're already thinking about is like, actually, how will we bring God into the forefront of their lives, both in the morning and in the evenings? Should we be thinking about this? Should they already be thinking about the day ahead? I want God to be part of that. And I tell you, there's a lot of things you could put into their lives to create that kind of environment. But for them to see it in you is much more important. To see that reflection in your life. And that's going to be so important. So as we start thinking about this, and you guys go through this, it's thinking about the preparation of the day. And we're going to start with the night before. So I'm not going to say all of us at 11 o'clock, we must do so and so. But I'm going to give you some ideas on what might be good to do each night kind of before. And I put it down to this thing that spells out refer. Okay, so because I know some people like things that spell out stuff, and you're like, Bert, it'd be good if you could have four R's, but that would be forcing forgive into a word that doesn't exist. So we're looking at these four things, okay? So the first is to reflect, then to forgive, then to rejoice, and then to rest. Reflecting is kind of stopping over your day and saying, actually, God, let me reflect on the day. Let me just bring it to you. And I think the easiest way to reflect on the day is actually, God, today, I give it up to you. All the good, all the bad, all the times that I've struggled or been hurt, I bring that to you. And I want to just reflect on that. The important part of reflecting is when you begin to reflect on things, it puts everything into perspective. In other words, is it really that bad? Is this the end of the world because of what happened today? Or God, is there something greater? Or can I trust you a little bit more? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So for me, it's kind of like that reflecting point is that time where you stop and you say, actually, God, I just want to read a psalm, or I just want to read a couple of verses and just remind me, actually, put life into context, just to reflect on things. I found that actually for Fan and our relationship has gotten much better over this past year. And one of the things I've noticed is that we spend more time reflecting with each other about the day or about what's been going on. And normally it's not just, it's a lot of times it's more about what God is doing or what God's been challenging us about or thinking about. And I found that's been really important because as you reflect on things like that, you share stuff out. And it's like, okay, yeah, actually, this is not the worst thing that can happen. The second thing that's really important is to forgive. And I know this is a verse that my mom used to tell me all the time. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry. But I know for a lot of us, there have been times when we have gone to bed and we're still seething. We're still really frustrated at something. When you put the first part, reflecting, and saying, God, actually, in the bigger scope of things, you know, that reflecting part is actually including, like, actually, God, there's so much to be thankful for. It becomes a lot easier to forgive. And it's important to forgive and say, you know, God, I don't want to go to work angry at my boss tomorrow. God, so I forgive them for what happened today. I forgive them for the overworking that I felt like I had to do. And God, prepare me for the next day. The hard part is saying, you know, day after day, there's this forgiveness that goes on. And sometimes it's the same person you're forgiving day after day. And it's like, oh, you guys, someone in mind comes to, if someone comes to your mind, forgive them now. It's that same thing like, okay, God, look, I know then there's an issue. If the same person is coming up day after day, you start realizing, actually, God, show me a solution. Show me a way to talk to this person. The worst thing is when this unforgiveness takes so much root, it becomes bitterness. And when we see marriages fall apart, it's because they become bitter, slowly bitter, bitter. Over time, they never had a chance to actually share or talk about that, or just to forgive or to ask for forgiveness from one another. I have this problem because I've been more stressed out about my kids lately, so I'm a little bit more angry, irritated at them. And so yesterday, I was really irritated at my kids. We went to this wedding and we drove back, and then they had a long nap in the car, and it's like, oh, now they don't sleep, and then they didn't sleep till like really late, and I was really agitated. And I was shouting, Alex, go to bed, and then after that, I felt really bad, and I realized, great. He's going to go to bed feeling like he disappointed Dad. And I'm going to go to bed angry. So I went up to him and I said, you know, actually, Oscar, Alex, I'm sorry. You know, Daddy shouldn't be angry at you. You know, it's not your fault. And just sit there with him for a little bit. Because I realized I don't want to model that in their lives. And I don't want to bring that into my own life. And for all of us, it's saying, actually, I don't want to bring today's problems into tomorrow. I don't want to bring that same bitterness or that unforgiveness into tomorrow. I want to end the day saying, God, because you've forgiven me, I forgive them. The next one, rejoice, is where after forgiveness, you have the chance to actually spend some time rejoicing and thanking God and remembering the good things. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Now, this is pretty important because most of the time, I wouldn't say we're not thankful people, but we wouldn't express it. We wouldn't say out necessarily what we're thankful about or we're thankful to God for these things. But there's a time in my life where every day was miserable. Every day felt really bad. And I was like, I didn't know what the point of any of this is anymore. My friend said, you know, you should just every day just come up with 5 things that you're thankful for. And I realized that is a really good discipline to get involved with, because there will be times when you're not feeling good, you're not feeling happy, but it's important still to be thankful, because in that thankfulness, God is able to work. Because if you're holding everything shut, closed, you know, how's God, he's going to force himself in to break through. But as you just start saying thankful, it helps to shift that perspective. So some days it would just be, I'm thankful that there is running water. I'm thankful that I have no terminal illness right now, but sometimes I wish I did. It's that was when I was feeling really, really, really down, right? So you kind of like feel like really hopeless. It's this kind of idea where you're actually, thankfulness is starting to be like, even the small things, you start realizing, God, there is so much goodness that we have been given. And I want to end the day on that kind of good note. The last is rest. And if you've talked to any kind of people who are experts in sleep or getting people to sleep, they actually say going into some sort of routine to settle yourself down is very helpful. Actually, for any of you who have sleep trained your children, you understand that a routine is very important. What's funny is that as we became adults, that routine became unimportant, and we lie in bed, our brains still buzzing because we're thinking about something else. If we're saying, okay, God, every day you've given us, it's kind of a good thing. One of the good things I thought is actually, before you go to bed, start setting this routine. And I think your routine shouldn't be, I'm going to go through my Instagram feed, I'm going to go through my Facebook. And then, because as you go through your Facebook, oh, that's just trouble, because it's like, oh, look what this person is doing. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, look at this video about cats. And it's like, you know, you're doomed, because it's endless scrolling, right? Rather, instead, I think, you know, deciding, okay, I'm going to turn this off. If you got your iPhone, make sure your notifications automatically turn off at do not disturb at a time. And then say, you know, just before you go to bed, just read a psalm out. And I think it's great to actually say the same psalm every day, because it becomes part of that remembrance. For me, is to be the great every night, Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just reading that as your bedtime prayer, you know, as yourself or even before you put your kids to bed, like that's a really great thing. We've been trying to do that with our kids, but I think what's bad is as we get more rushed for time, the less patience we have for biblical things or godly things. We actually just want them to hurry up and go to bed so we can get on with our own lives. And it's difficult because all parents probably are like this as well, because you're thinking, just go to bed so we can do something else. But for a while, we were having Alex read some verses because he was afraid of, he didn't want it to be dark. So we started having him just read some verses before he goes to bed, and Fan wrote them out really nicely, and she put them on their wall, and he was reading them, and after a while, he just memorized them. He knew, like, all 6 verses by heart, and he was like, it was really amazing. I was like, oh. And then we started learning them because he would have to say them, and then we would learn them by him speaking it. And I was like, well, this is really nice, because there's something inculcating in his heart, you might say, you know, brewing. But for us as adults, we don't do that, do we? We don't read a verse before we go to bed. We don't read the same verse before we go to bed. And we have nothing to marinate in our hearts, to keep our hearts full of grace or tender for the Lord to speak to us the next day. See, when we start seeing all of this, it's not for our selfish gain so we can have a better night's sleep, but to say, God, I want to be ready for what you have for me to do tomorrow. And it's important, God, that you prepare me, because I want to be ready for the people that I come across tomorrow. I want to be ready to be full of grace, my conversation seasoned with salt. And I can only do that if I'm preparing myself tonight and getting myself ready for tomorrow. Again, it's that perspective, not for yourself, not just so you can be a happier Christian to have a happier life, but saying, God, because every day that you have given me here on earth is for me to be using for the glory of your name. And I want to be alive in that. And this is where we come to the morning. So the morning is always a tricky thing, because I know when you wake up in the morning, most of us are not like, whoo, ready to go. Let's go, God. Come on. Whoo, I'm ready to go. Because I think if we did that, a lot of us would collapse on the floor and like, I sprained my heel or something like that. And I think the best way that I would think about it is your morning routine really starts when you actually wake up. Okay. So, and I mean that's past the kind of groggy part. But even in that kind of half groggy state, you should already be thinking, okay, what's, because you know, you'd be thinking, oh, what needs to be happening? What time is it? Are the kids awake? Do I need to be somewhere? What day is it? This is me, actually. I have no idea. Am I preaching today? Am I going to go to church? This is the four things I have there. And again, it's RFRR, means nothing. But now you remember, referrer. It's useless. And I would say reboot, focus, receive, and be ready. And I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking reboot. And I thought, actually, that's a great way to think about it. Because you wake up in the morning, and you're not really thinking clearly, but you need something to reboot you, to suddenly remind you what it's all about. And for me, I thought, actually, you know what the best way to reboot myself would be? Is like after you wake up, you're kind of like, now I'm brushing my teeth, would be to just do the Lord's Prayer, just to say the Lord's Prayer in my heart or out loud. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Because that whole prayer, that sets out everything that we're designed for and anything that might come up during that day, both in terms of forgiveness, dealing with people who are upset at you, understanding that's God's kingdom, and just in that time slot, just saying, actually, God, this. And I tell you, even if you did that as a routine, it became really routine. Oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as heaven. You know what? It's just long enough, that memory, that thing, that by the end, you would have to be awake. You would be alert to realize, oh yeah, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So by the end of that, it would become a prayer, even if you were half awake while doing it. And this is the kind of cool thing about that, because again, it's letting the word say, yeah, actually, God, prepare me for the day, and I need to restart. Because every day is going to have its different battles. You're going to be carrying different weights when you wake up in the morning and saying, okay, let me reboot. Let me start again. Restart the day. The second thing would be to be focused. And again, this is where I think people would traditionally say this is your daily devotions. But for me, focus is actually that time where actually you would spend a little bit of time in the Word. You would spend a little bit of time thinking and reflecting about God. Now, for those of you who commute, I think this is your best time to focus, actually. While you're on a bus or in a car, where you're listening to a sermon, you listen to, because nowadays there's a million sermons online. You can listen to actually good speakers, not people like me. And like, it's great because you can, like, there's an app called Sermon Audio, and you can download tons of people's sermons, and you have them all. You're not streaming, so you're not using your data, do it at home on Wi-Fi. And then while you're in your car or you're walking or commuting, you can listen to a message. And it's great because it really prepares your heart. It gets your head thinking. It gets you ready for the day ahead. Yesterday, again, I was driving back from this wedding, and I was getting really tired because everyone else was sleeping in the car, but not me, and I was really jealous. And then I was listening to music, and then, you know, my normal music wasn't working, so I went to Christian music, but that didn't help. And then so I said, okay, well, let me see what sermons I have. And I popped one on. And immediately as the sermon started going on, and it's weird, right, because it's the opposite. Because while I'm speaking here, you are getting more tired. But if you listen to a sermon while you're driving, you become more awake. And I found myself more and more alert and more thinking. And it's great because I was actively thinking at the same time driving safely. I just need to point that out. And it was good because I realized, wow, that's really helping me focus on God, on what he's doing, on even just thinking about him just helps so much. So for those of you who have long commutes, it's great. You can get through two sermons a day, depending on how long your commute is. If you have a short commute, you can break it up, right? 15-minute commute still. So within the week, you'd listen to another sermon. And it's great because actually you get to learn so much. And then when you get to work, you're not grumpy and irritated. Now, the worst part about commuting is other drivers. Because if they weren't there, hey, it'd be fine. I just get to work. I'm happy. You know, no problems. The only worst thing is the lights. Yeah, they're survivable. But that's other drivers, people that don't know how to drive well. And it makes it so irritating. When you're focused and you're listening to a message and you realize being angry at these drivers won't make a difference, you just drive and you just listen. And then when you get to work, you're not agitated, but you're already gracious because God is on your heart. Brother Lawrence, a famous monk who spent a lot of time serving, he said, actually, to be able to think of God multiple times through the day and be in constant communication with him is what draws you closest to him. And that makes so much sense. And it's kind of like, okay, God, I want to have that drawn into my life, brought in more and more. The third thing, then, is to receive. And there's this idea that actually, if you know the Bible, actually, the reason God gives us the Holy Spirit is not so that we can have supernatural powers or to have these awesome experiences of him, but it is for his glory. Actually, the Spirit comes on power in you so that you will be his witnesses to the world. That's the reason we get the Holy Spirit. Now, for us, this is so important that it's like every day. So it's like, God, actually, I want to receive. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit in me, but God, I want to be ready to be used by your Holy Spirit today. I want to receive your word. I want to be ready to be used by you. So God, fill me. Prepare me. The amazing thing is when you ask God for this, he gives to you. Because that's what he wants. He wants you to be ready too. But none of us ever wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to receive whatever you have to give to me today that I'm going to need to get through today. Not for my glory, but for your glory. I want to be ready to use whatever gift you give to me to bless someone today, to encourage them, to speak your truth into their life. So give to me so I can be used by you. Wow. Now, let me just throw this out there. Is this the kind of prayer that God would look at and say, as if. I don't want to give you anything. You just, because I'm not concerned about you telling other people me. You just struggle through life. And then one day, you'll get it. Even if you are having a hard time at work, even if it's a difficult time, if you're asking God, God, I want you to lead me, you understand that you're saying, God, I want this communication channel with you to be open. And I want to learn and grow. So even by the end of the day, let's say nothing amazing happened. Maybe you didn't meet anyone on the street. No one invited you to their house for tea. You still say, God, what have I received from you today? What truth are you speaking to my life? What are you challenging me with? And finally, it's to be ready. There's this verse in Ephesians, and I think it shows up a lot in us talking about the full armor of God. The whole point of this full armor of God is to understand that actually all every day we are engaged in this kind of spiritual warfare. There's this battle going on, and God is asking us to be active participants in this for his glory. But normally what we think we're fighting against is our institutions, our managers, our teachers, our exams. That's our daily war. But God is saying, actually, there is a greater war, a spiritual war that needs us to be ready for that, to be equipped, you know, your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, with the belt of truth, with the word of God, the helmet of salvation. In other words, every day saying, God, I'm ready. I want to be used by you today. When we start taking this on and saying, look, this is my focus for my life. This is the reason why I'm here. It would change, well, wouldn't it change everything about the way you go to work or why you go to work, about what your point is in school? And it changes because it doesn't mean you go in there guns blazing, trying to chop everyone down with the word of God, but rather you go in ready and listen, God, speak to me. Let my heart be soft. Let me encourage someone. Let me take a little bit more time to listen to this person. God, let me build this relationship because I can start seeing that actually there are people in my workplace, in my schools who are hurting, who are really struggling. God, let me become more compassionate to spend time with them to help them. When Ann showed that video about poverty, and you see all these walls going up, wasn't that kind of what separates? And God is saying, look, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, won't they open their eyes and see? Won't they begin to discover what it means to have compassion? To spend time, to listen, to assist someone? And if we zoom it back a little bit, and you think about the best teachers or the best managers that you've ever had, even the best bosses that you've had, those are the ones who have spent a little bit of time with you, who've listened, who've been there, who seem to have had a bit of a soft heart to either challenge you or to push your disciple or to move you forward. Even your own leaders in churches, those are the best ones, right? This is saying, God, each day, prepare me. Let me be ready. Let me be focused for what you have. So that last question is saying, actually, God, what will God do today? What are you going to do today? Can you and will you use me? Now, actually, thinking about this, this doesn't just occur for your day away from home, but also counts for your time at home with your spouse or with your family, with your mother and your father, with your sister or your brother. Sometimes we think, okay, that's sending out, and then we come back home, we can just be annoyed at the people in our house as much as we want. But actually, it's saying, God, actually, can I still bring blessing into my sister's life, into my brother's life, into my wife or my husband's life? God, can you use me today to bless my children? Actually, wouldn't that be awesome to be every day to bring some blessing into the family, to share that manna from heaven with one another? That would be so sweet. And saying, God, yes, what will you do today? God, work. The more and more I read the Bible and the more I think about it, it's very clear that God calls us as his people to be active and living and serving and working and being alive for him. And everything else becomes secondary to that, like a distant second. It's like, actually, yes, in your every place that you are put in now, God is asking you to do that. So for us, it's learning, well, actually, God, let me learn how to focus. In the evenings before I go to bed, let me reflect and forgive. And let me rejoice. And then let me rest. So that the next day when I wake up and I reboot, I am ready. I want to receive. I want to be looking ahead to what you have. I want to focus. This cycle shifts from just saying, I need to do my daily devotions to be a good Christian so that I can check a box so that when my leader asks me, I can say, yes, I've been reading the Bible, to God, I want every day to be prepared for you in the morning and the evening. Shall we pray? Lord, we do really thank you because you are so gracious and you give us your Holy Spirit. Not for selfish gain, but for your glory, that you would use us in that way. Lord, will you be stirring in our hearts this desire to be ready for you each day, ready for what you are calling us to do? We thank you, Lord, because you are so amazing, and yet we take you so much for granted. Will you prepare each one of my brothers and sisters here that all of us can be eager to say, you know, actually in the evenings we want to set that time to prepare our hearts for you just before bed. You know, that 5-10 minutes even just to reflect or to remember. Maybe for some of us we just get a time to journal or to write. So that in the morning we are ready to say, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. So that next week when we come together, we'll have great stories to share. We'll have adventures, opportunities that we might have missed, and opportunities that we might have taken. But that we know that we are in this living, active relationship with you. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.